coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. I'm going to get right into this. The real Anthony Fauci, the real Bill Gates, the real Big Pharma, the global war on democracy, the global war on our Western way of life, the global war on the planet. We are at war right now. And, you know, I often see comments on social media and other places. This is the hill that we're going to die on. And to paraphrase General Patton, no, this is the hill that we're going to make the other bastard, the globalist bastards, die on. We're not going to die on this hill. They're going to die on that hill. And the hill I'm referencing, of course, is the global tyranny that is in taking over everything and the people behind it. Yesterday I mentioned the names, and of course this compliments and hat tip to Dr. David Martin. People such as Mark Carney, UN Special Envoy for Climate Action, Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Minister and Minister of Finance in Canada, and Queen Rania of Jordan, Klaus Schwab, of course, you know, gets more than a cameo and an honorable mention, seemingly head of things, Larry Page of Google, Al Gore, environmentalist, of course, Yo-Yo Ma, makes me think of Seinfeld. Anyway, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Meta, Bill Gates, of course, Microsoft, and none other than Anthony Fauci. I want to lead off. I've got so much to lay out for you today to give you a complete understanding why we, the American people, and in fact, all of the West, we're being lied to. Yet I'm going to give you evidence, information, documentation that you won't get anywhere because it's all censored. It's all excised from the public record that you can take, and you can share this segment with everyone you know, and please do that. I don't need attribution. Just share this information. Let's start off with the latest now. There's a lot of bluster, a lot of smoke and mirrors, a lot of smoke, but no fire necessarily. But Senator Ted Cruz says Fauci is the most dangerous bureaucrat in the history of America and suggested that this COVID czar should or could end up in prison for 5 years. Now, this guy's going to celebrate Fauci's going to celebrate his 81st birthday. I believe it's in January. Maybe it's in December. But nonetheless, this guy's been at the helm way too long, and he's, little noises there. I apologize for that, little sound effects. But he's been at the helm way too long, and of course he has modeled. He's got bodies littered behind him, and he's got bodies right now from his insistence on how we treat this. This virus out there, this bioweapon, and using a bioweapon against the American people and against the globe, the entire population of the planet, along with Bill Gates. And the fact that he was involved in human experimentation with children. Yet, look, I love dogs, okay? The Beagle, Beagle Gate, as it's been referenced on social media, where the Beagles were actually their heads were put inside of a tank and these insects were released, and of course the beagles were tortured to death by this experimentation. Look, I understand that, because if someone did that to my dog, you heard her. I mean, she's upset. My lady, the studio dog, is upset. You just heard her right now. I mentioned, I can't even talk in front of her. She gets so upset about this. But here's the thing. You okay, Eric? You all right? Here's the thing. This is happening to children. long before, at the hands of Fauci, long before it was happening to Beagles. It just took this Beaglegate to bring it to the surface. But let's tune in to see what Senator Ted Cruz has to say about Anthony Fauci. Roll clip one.
You know, Dr. Fauci, I think, is the most dangerous bureaucrat in the history of the country. You know, he talked a moment ago, you just played, about hurting science. I don't think anyone has hurt science, has hurt the credibility of the CDC, has hurt the credibility of doctors more than Dr. Fauci, because throughout this pandemic, he's been dishonest, he's been political, he's been partisan, and the American people know it. Why is it that the Biden administration decreed that masks have to be worn in schools by kids? Well, because teachers' union bosses wanted it, and that's not a scientific reason, that is a data reason. And you know, this weekend he did this long interview where he gave the answer. He said, "I represent science. I am science." I got to admit, Sean, I was laughing. It's like Louis the 14th, the Sun King in France, saying, "L'État c'est moi. I am the state." It is this delusion of grandeur that you cannot criticize him. And it was very striking. In the course of that interview, he was asked about. I asked the Attorney General Merrick Garland if he's going to investigate and prosecute Dr. Fauci for lying to Congress. And Margaret Brennan asked him about that. And what did Fauci do? He didn't discuss any of the substance. Instead, he just attacked and engaged in ad hominem attacks. He basically did the Beavis and Butthead defense. He just screamed liars at everything. But, you know, facts are stubborn things, Sean. And so here are the simple facts that Fauci needs to explain and that the Department of Justice should investigate. So on May 11th, Fauci testified before a Senate committee that, quote, "The NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology." That's a clear categorical statement. But then on October 20th, the NIH wrote that they funded an experiment at the Wuhan lab testing, quote, "If spike proteins from naturally occurring bat coronaviruses circulating in China were capable of binding to the human ACE2 receptor in a mouse model." That is gain-of-function research. That is taking an existing virus and modifying it to make it more dangerous to humans. And listen, at the end of the day, 18 U.S.C. Section 1001 makes it a felony, punishable by up to 5 years in prison for lying to Congress. The statements from Dr. Fauci and the NIH are directly contradictory. And I got to say, I think Margaret Brennan is a talented journalist, but she dropped the ball in not following up, letting him just respond with insults instead of asking him the simple question. You stated that we don't fund gain-of-function research. The NIH stated we do fund gain-of-function research. They can't both be true. And if you lied to Congress, it's a felony. She didn't press him on that. And the reason this matters is there is a lot of circumstantial evidence to suggest that the U.S. government participated in funding research modifying coronaviruses that could well have led to COVID-19. And if that's true, that is stunning and indefensible. We know the Chinese government has enormous culpability, but there's a real possibility the American government under Dr. Fauci does as well. And that's what he doesn't want to address.
Okay, that's the clip. Look, now my question is, you criticize the journalists for not following up on questions. What are you going to do to follow up on charging or having Anthony Fauci charged along with others, including but not limited to Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, that's a non-citizen, but everyone involved, including some of the CEOs and even members, directors of NIH, NIAID, some of the employer workers there, the doctors associated with the CDC. What are you going to do, Senator Cruz, to ensure that this is done? Folks, listen to me. We are on our own. Now, very quickly, because I've got a lot to get into. understand this. This gain of function, just substitute the word bioterror. Bioterrorism. Gain of function research is bioterrorism, is weaponization. That's very simple. It's pathogenic priming. and in part. Okay, so people understand this. We are at war. We are at war with a globalist agenda. This is the Great Reset, of course. Everyone knows this. But for those people who are not sold, who used to trust the science, trust Fauci, oh, this is all a bunch of BS. Back in 2020, a little over a year ago, there was an interview, a very critical interview done with a Holocaust survivor. This woman was extremely young. This refugee from Romania. Her name is Vera Shirov. And I've got like four clips, I think three or four clips, three clips, just a few minutes long a piece that really undergird what's taking place here. Because and you've got to listen very carefully to what she says. All right, this video is like in two parts, and it was about an hour and a half long, but I went through this, and there's a couple of very critically important and relevant segments to what's going on today. So with that, clip number 13338, Eric the Tech, let's play this, and please listen very carefully to what Vera Shirov has got to say. The links will be in the program description box all the time for this episode at HagmanReport.com. Go ahead and roll it.
Especially, it begins in the public health arena. Public health is government. And that was what happened in Nazi Germany. All of medicine wound up being public health. Once you have medicine in partnership with government, there is no individual care. There's the Hippocratic Oath goes out the window.
Pause for a second.
And
okay, just leave right there. Folks, this started with Barack Hussein Obama. This nationalization of our health care started with the Affordable Care Act, national socialism of our medical industry. This is when it started. At least in the most recent iteration of what's going on. You just heard what she said. Go ahead, continue.
Since you have government behind you, the doctor's not responsible for their actions. They're working together with the state. That's when medicine becomes weaponized. And what I've described is weaponized medicine. If you dictate what medicine is given to your child and you don't have a say, that invites all kinds of really serious violations of your child and your role. You know, children are sometimes taken away from their parents if the parent refuses, for example, with psychiatric drugs, ADHD, if you don't agree to give your child. They've taken children away. That's called child protective services. Who are they protecting? Certainly not the children. There are many areas now where there's been a complete incursion into private families. Who is to say, where is the evidence that government knows best for what's for your child? There is no such thing. It's only if you give in and you obey, then you're not meeting your responsibility as a child. Really, parents have to be willing to go to battle to protect their children.
And that's what we're seeing today, these legislative trends that are infantilizing adult men and women and yes. saying the state knows best for yes. you and for your child.
Right.
And so we're expected as parents to willingly give up our parental rights and our health care rights and give them to the state and into state mandates.
That's right.
And I'll ask you a hard question, and admittedly, because we're all journeying this together, but how do parents go to bat?
They have to organize. They have to organize. It doesn't take the entire population to rise up. It's enough if a certain number does. Now, there is more awareness. There is more combat.
Okay. In the interest of time, you can delete or stop it there. The entire interview, parts one and two, will be at HagmanReport.com in the program description box, nowhere else. By the way, please subscribe to us on Rumble and Bridie on both. There's benefits to both. You can discuss this on either platform as well. All right. So she said a lot right there. But the important thing is the fact that this National Socialized Medicine takes everything away from the parents, away from us, and puts it in line with the state. This is exactly what Anthony Fauci has been doing. This is what Bill Gates has been advocating for. This goes back to Barack Hussein Obama. This, of course, extends into Hillary Clinton. It takes a village. It takes a village. And remember, Hillary Care, remember that attempt. Well, this is really to finish us off and to subjugate us, because it is the military pharmaceutical complex as well as the military pharmaceutical industrial congressional complex that really is subjugating us under this globalization, centralization of power. Now, with what she said, too, about the government and the medical industry, the government hijacking or socializing, nationalizing the medical industry. Understand this, the CDC right now owns 57 patents, spends 4.9 of its $12 billion annual budget. This is as of 2019, buying and distributing vaccines. What are we hearing today? Oh, it's all about the vaccines. NIH, the parental company organization over NIAID, owns hundreds of vaccine patents and often profits from the sale of products it regulates. High-level officials, including and especially Fauci, receive yearly payments of up to $150,000 in royalty payments on products that they help develop and then usher through the approval process. The products have to be approved. Who approves them? The same people who make them and who benefit by them. This is wrong. This is on top of Fauci's $417,608 a year salary. A little bit, just a tad more than Eric the Tech makes, right? So, any criticism of what's going on, and I mentioned this yesterday, CNN, hey, Peter Hotez, the television doctor, he wrote an article that was published in the Scientific Journal calling for legislation to expand federal hate crime protections to make criticism of Dr. Fauci a felony. In declaring that Hotez had no conflicts, of course, he said that he also said that vaccine skeptics should be snuffed out. You see where this is going? Okay, they're coming for our children. Look, they went after our elders in the nursing homes in 2020. Now they're coming for our children. You don't have a say, but this is a hill that we're going to make these bastards die on. All right, let's go to clip number. This is clip two, part A, 2220. Go ahead, watch this. This is a continuation of Vera, this is a continuation of the previous interview. Go ahead.
Parents are afraid to let them out. That's outrageous, to have a breakdown of society because of a virus that isn't anything like what we've been led to believe. They want control. They want total control of us, that we should become robots. And let's understand that the Bill Gates crowd of multi-billionaires, and it seems that there have been more billionaires created in these last 10 years since 2008, when there was, again, an economic recession. That should tell you something. They consider themselves an elite, and this is a eugenics way of looking at the world. Eugenics was exported from the United States to Nazi Germany. It never, never was abandoned. It just got its name changed. So population control, there's a population council. There are all kinds of institutions that essentially continue to push the eugenics agenda with policies that they easily set because of the money. So some populations are targeted for weeding out. That's the eugenics kind of way of reducing populations. You weed out those who you consider lesser, you know, inferior.
So I hear you saying a few things about teaching others to think about what makes them an expert when we're listening to experts, who's profiting, and what makes this situation different than what we've seen before.
It's on a larger scale. It's a more insidious scale because a lot of it is electronic. We don't really see it. You don't have to have quite, you know, as many Gestapo around. They can do things without that now. The electronic way of doing things gives them much more control. And we know that, you know, everything, Facebook, all of those models, the data about people has gone into a central bank.
Vera, what do you...
All right, understand this. In 2020, as she was saying, in 2020, during this lockdown, American workers lost $3.7 trillion, while billionaires gained $3.9 trillion. Some 493 individuals became new billionaires. Was it one of you? Of course not. And an additional 8 million Americans dropped below the poverty line. Was that you? Probably. Was that us? Probably. Okay. Of course. People like Larry Ellison and his company, Oracle, as I mentioned, which partnered with the CIA to build new cloud services. That's what she was talking about. Hey, it went from IBM back in World War II now to Oracle, for example. They won the contract to process all CDC vax data. Ellison's wealth increased by $34 billion last year. Mark Zuckerberg's wealth grew by $35 billion. Google's Sergey Brin by $41 billion. Jeff Bezos by $86 billion. Bill Gates by $22 billion. And Michael Bloomberg nearly $7 billion. Boo-hoo, didn't quite get in the double digits there, did we, Michael? All right, so now let's go to clip segment B. The very, very same interview, segment B.
It's very, very important that people get together and realize that there are people who will do anything. They will do anything to make money. And to control. Now this is really now about control. It behooves us to stand up. People still have the ability right now to stand up and to let them know that this won't fly. This has to be a citizens' uprising. It's that simple. I mean, otherwise, why talk about democracy? Why talk about free society? We're not. This is what we're about to lose if we allow it.
That's what's on the line.
That's down the line.
The essence of freedom.
And what is so amazing to me and very painful to realize is it's one thing when you see the societies in the Far East, you know.
This is fine. You can end it right there. Look, watch the entire interview, parts 1 and 2. Again, links in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But understand this. They come after our children, which they're doing right now with this injection. We come after them with our weapons. That's why God made AR-15s and AK-47s, and that's why we have our weapons. You come after our children, it's game over. Not for us. This is not the hill we're going to die on. This is the hill you're going to die on. And if you're just following orders, watch parts 1 and 2 of that interview. If you're just following orders, understand that you will be held to account. Hey, Senator Cruz. Hey, Senator Rand Paul. What are you going to do about Fauci? Oh, but wait a second. Fauci, hey, he's benevolent. He's trust the science, right? He is the science. Well, let's take a very quick look. Let's go back in time again. AIDS, HIV, New York's HIV experiment. Put that website on the screen. You know, this was a very telling time in American history, New York's HIV experiment. Folks, if you haven't seen this, again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Back in the 90s, BBC did a couple of things, a huge investigation, including a video. But they investigated, as did that interviewee that you saw, investigated what was going on with the foster care system in New York City. And of course, I mentioned yesterday the Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York, in Westchester County, by the way. There's 1,000 children buried there as a direct result of Anthony Fauci and his experimentations, NIAID, in conjunction with the Children's Services, or the equivalent thereof, I don't recall the acronym, in the state of New York, and the testing of drugs on these children. Now, there is, within that interview that I posted, a whole lot of information there you can about this, but it's a absolutely horrific, and everything's been documented with respect to this. Everything has been documented, but Fauci has bodies buried, literally, from his AIDS research. And of course, you mentioned this, the U.S. military industrial complex, the along with HHS, NIH, NCI, DAIDS, all of it is designed along military command structure, because it is. It's the military, basically. It's not science. It's not merit. Fauci understands this, and he mastered the elimination, the censorship of dissent and any mercy for those that he and his organization has destroyed. And Celia Farber has done an excellent job on uncovering all of this. You know, there's just, again, so much involved in Fauci's work, the children that he experimented on, and without the informed consent of the parents, without the informed consent of the guardians or advocates of these children in the foster care system. And he buried his mistakes. Well, he buried literally hundreds, if not 1,000, children from this. Again, in the interest of time, let me go to, but wait a second here. Hold on a second. Did I send you the Snopes picture? I didn't, did I? No. Oh, wait, I did. It's the last link on the program prep file there. If you click on that, of course, when you talk about this, and this had to be resurrected again in October, you talk about this. It appears on social media, this platform. We talk about this. RFK Jr.'s book about the real Dr. Fauci, he documents this. Celia Farber documents this. Others document the living heck out of this. And Snopes comes along and says, nah, it's false. And if you scroll down, Eric the Tech, about in the middle of that page right there, you're going to see this big glaring, false. See it right there? That's what you get when you try to tell others about what's taking place. Folks, understand this. What we're seeing today with respect to these injections is an extension of the experimentation that he, along with other globalists and other medical tyranny individuals, have done since AIDS, because number one, it enriches him. Number two, it advances the eugenics population agenda. And thirdly, it enslaves all of us. Please understand how serious this is. There is nothing more serious today than this agenda that we must fight against. We will fight against it. We're not going to shut up. We're not going to be silent. And we're going to carry right through. And we will continue to fight every single last one of these bastards. You wear a mask. Okay, there's. I think, what would I say? 52 studies on the NIH website about mask wearing, or at least 25 anyway, 25 that I can verify, and 14 of the 25 are double blind peer review, whatever. But the masks are a bunch of BS. It's a symbol of compliance. It's virtual signaling. They do nothing unless it's an N95 mask along with a biohazard suit. It does nothing. So compliance, if you want to comply, You're just allowing the system to subjugate you. It's a bunch of tyranny. I won't wear a mask. I wouldn't wear a mask anywhere. And these mandates, we must resist. You heard what that Holocaust survivor said. Hey, civil disobedience resistance is imperative. They come after us with this injection. They come after us with additional lockdowns. And Fauci's not arrested if he's not prosecuted for crimes against humanity, as others, including and especially Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and his under the jurisdiction there, and others here in the United States, then all is then it's all up to us. We have to take care of business. Is that a threat? No, that's just merely an observation. Until, of course, you come in my door, attempting to take my children, my grandchildren, then it's a threat. Because one of us is going to leave in a body bag. Please pass this segment along to anyone you know, if you feel so inclined. But the fight is here. The fight is here. The fight is now. Hey, folks, you know, on a much brighter and cheerier note, Stan Deo is with me right now, and God love that man. I'll tell you what, I appreciate his flexibility. I appreciate everything he does for us. I appreciate his wife, Holly, and what she's done, the books that she's written, Dare to Prepare. Oh, man, that's the ultimate resource book. And, of course, Stan, of course, on Cosmic Conspiracy. And then we have so much more. But before I get to Stan, I just want to mention this. The holidays are here. Man, did they come quick this year, didn't they? This year, give yourself the gift of extra money in your pocket, pay off your credit card balances, and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Let me tell you something. I love these guys at Lightstream, these people at Lightstream. Terrific people. They have worked with us, with members of my family, with people I know. They've taken great care of them. You can roll your high-interest credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees, and you can get your money the same day as you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Folks, here's what you have to do, and do it right now because the holidays are fast approaching, and hey, you want some additional discretionary income, you can do it by consolidating your higher interest credit card rates into one. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LightStream.com/Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. Now, this is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. You'll be glad you did. And thank you for being a good corporate sponsor. And folks, thank you for taking advantage of lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you what, it's a great company, as is Stan Deo, standdeo.com. Hey, EMP Shield, have you gotten yours yet? Great Christmas gift. Great Christmas gift for the dad, the mom, the family, in-laws, outlaws, sons, daughters, son-in-laws, Eric the Tech, from son-in-laws to father-in-laws, Eric the Tech. What? Chris is throwing stuff at me. But Stan and his people are the brainchild behind this, and he's saving America one home at a time. He's saving America one state at a time, one commonwealth at a time. He's saving America one power structure facility at a time. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. Hey, do it now for Christmas. Stan Deo, standdeo.com. Stan, thanks for holding out with me, man. And don't slap me around because I'm fragile today.
Yeah. Sounds like I missed a good discussion on those AR-15s and things.
I'm ready, brother. I'm ready. You know what? I tell you what. I did a quick segment before you came on, you know, everyone's saying, well, this is a hill to die on. In my view, no, this is a hill that, in the words of George Patton, to paraphrase, make the other bastards die on the hill. Make them die for their country, not, you know. Anyway, I was paraphrasing Patton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, he was a great military mind. I do wish we had a patent. Well, we had Trump in the office, which is as close as you're going to get, but he's gone now, and I hope we see him soon.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, look, you know, we've said this several times on the show here, you and I, about the need for something to go perhaps outside the constitutional law to solve the problems we've got in this country at the moment. It's just gone beyond what we can, you know, do at the voting booth. There's just no way we can't go another 2 years like this or three.
You think that's by design?
Is that? Oh, plain? Yeah. They did it all so early in the administration's occupation of the White House that it meant they had like 4 years to put everything in place. And we'd have no rebuttal. I mean, you know, they didn't wait a year or two to get these things through a bit at a time. They did it all up front at once to give themselves time in office to block us, to arrest us, to do whatever they're going to do to people that don't like what they're doing. I mean, these people have committed treason. There's just no question about it. You've said that before. I've said it before. We're at war. We've been invaded. And if they were in the 1700s or early 1800s, we would say that, you know, they're British and they're occupying our White House and whatever, we need to get them out. And things were done at that time to make it happen. So there's a blueprint there, if you get my drift.
Do you think anyway, what we're seeing, I mean, and you can stop and change the topics whenever you want, but do you think what we're seeing, Stan, right now with this Omicron, or Omicron, in my view, variant, supposedly, you know, passing over Z, XI, you know, for obvious reasons, because that'd be racist if we, you know, xenophobic. What we should just call it Z. All right, we'll do that. The Z variant. Do you think that this is? I mean, what do you make of this? What do you make of that? The timing of this.
Well, look, it's a weapon that they planned a long time ago. I think probably more than 15 years ago. We saw episodes of Dead Zone, or an episode where they actually had a COVID virus hit a school and they locked it down. And this is back in like 2005. And so that far back, it was being tossed around and even writers heard about it for TV shows. So it's been that long in the making. And it's a tool that they've, the Illuminists, it seems kind of outdated to call them that, but these attackers of humanity, they have planned this so that they can reduce the population of the planet, by an act of God, a disease, and it so cripples industry and the economies and various things like that, and families will to resist, that they can open up a new one world government and do whatever they want without very much opposition from people, especially if the new world order comes in and says, look, we've got a cure for COVID, even better than the vaccine or whatever, and to eliminate it so people will race over and get their new banking number on their hand or whatever. It's all aimed at what we've talked about for years now. Just, it's there. And I can't see a deviation in the plan. I think they've thought about everything that we could possibly do to resist. And they've looked at what happened in Chechnya. they've looked in various other countries where there's been an overthrow of the government. And Soros has learned from these over the years, and he sets up division in any country he wants to take over. And I look at our media, 75% of it is left wing, the enemy. The other quarter is right wing, the opposite to the enemy, or so we would think. But all this is doing, and I think it's why they're letting Fox continue to broadcast all this stuff, is to polarize the people to the point of civil disobedience, civil war. And that's just what we're facing.
If I can ask you, and again, you can change topics and anytime you want. And I'm asking this question intellectually and also from the heart. Given our, given the polar opposites right now by the people who are absolutely convinced that the shots, the injections, everyone should have them because it's for science. And it, by you not having, you know, me not having that injection, you're endangering those that, that have taken the injection. Because of the absolute dogmatic differences, and this is my question, would civil war be a bad thing? And I mean that knowing how utterly horrific that would be.
Well, let's say if it were a fair, if there's such a thing, civil war, it's pretty lopsided in that the government has access to troops, National Guard, things like that to form, you know, martial law and to regulate police forces and things in a time of crisis. It's going to be, if we don't do that, I mean, you know, you're going to sit here and say, gee, I wish I'd done something to, you know, to slow this whole overthrow of the U.S. government. But they're expecting it. And so when we do that, they will then really clamp down on us and be able to lock up, you know, a lot of people like you and I to stop the voices out there that are resisting the plan. So, yeah, it's, you know, in essence, if it were a clean, evenly matched civil war, it'd be fair. You know, let's do it. But they are expecting that. And I don't know how we're going to, you know, bypass it. There's certainly been backroom discussions about that, but it's going to take an act of God, I think, to help us get through it and reverse what they've done. They've been planning this for generations.
And the last thing I'm going to say is I have a list of names, compliments or hat tip to Dr. David Martin, of the people who are really pushing for this global tyranny. Now, I mean, there's a difference between obviously a civil war and a revolution, but that list of names, probably, you know, a couple hundred. If they were, you know, ultimately neutralized in some way, shape, or form, and I'm not advocating anything, I'm just asking this question, folks, wouldn't that set their timetable back a little bit? I'm talking about Klaus Schwab, I'm talking about Bill Gates, I'm talking about Fauci, I'm talking about, you know, the Google and, you know, the big tech titans and such. I'm just curious. I mean, I'm just asking. Again, it's not a threat. I'm just asking. Wouldn't that set their timetable back a little bit and send the message that we're not going to take this crap anymore?
It might. It certainly, the initiation of such a thing might send them a message. I'm thinking you've already gotten the message about how unhappy people are. But I still maintain that we're being set up for a master chess play where we're going to want to get rid of these people, the Illuminists that are trying to control the planet, kill us off, and that kind of, we want to get rid of them. And if we had, you know, a friendly alien invasion here come and say, look, you guys are in trouble. We see what the problem is. We're going to get rid of all these, you know, bankers and industrialists that have been oppressing you, and we'll set up a fair world government. I really think that's where the play is going, because people, you know, like, you know, us on the right side of the spectrum saying, oh, look, they're friendly, they're alien, they got better technology, and they realize we're being oppressed, and they're going to help get rid of all this, you know, control that is being executed over us by these invaders from, you know, our own culture. So I'm thinking that we're thinking too linearly when we say, okay, we need to have a civil war and throw them out. That might be the sentiment, but I think what they're going to play at is they'll get rid of them. They'll get rid of the little gray critters that have been abducting people, that kind of stuff. And they'll figure out a way to stop COVID and everybody be happy. And I think that's the way we're headed, ultimately.
Well, one last real quick question.
Great deception.
Okay, based on what you just said, and thank you, Karen, from Rome. God bless you. Love you as a sister. Okay. But she sent me a link and a couple of things. Where does AI play a factor in this, artificial intelligence play in transhumanism, in addition to the extraterrestrial element, shall we say?
Sure. We have artificial intelligence now, the Chinese, Russians, Americans, it's around, and believe it or not, probably 50 years ago when I was active in the computer industry in Dallas, we were looking at ways to, you know, to impress people with how smart our computers were to simulate artificial intelligence. And we learned very quickly that it would take a lot more computer power than we had available in the world at that time. But we did understand how it would work and that we would have to program value or judgments into it for various things that it would comment on or execute if it were a real AI. China's got a big one, and they've been using it into their weapon systems as well to be smart, to evade our countermeasures. The fallen ones, you know, Satan and his minions that are behind all this alien stuff, have access to that probably much better than we do. And I've often wondered if the thing that runs our global economy and us might not be some sort of an AI, artificial intelligence, that we have an image created for it in 3D, you know, real time, that speaks to us, and it will be this smart artificial intelligence computer, which will assist or be, you know, the Antichrist himself. I'm not sure whether it will be some we create an AI, or whether the Antichrist will use the AI to run us. It's probably the way it will go. But AI is fraught with danger.
That's why you get paid the big bucks. I'm kidding, of course. Speaking of big bucks, you know what, folks? Stan has got a wonderful Patreon page, or wonderful Patreon. Join Stan's Patreon. It is so, I'm telling you what, I love to sit in on his Patreon meetings. Please do that. Go to standeo.com, sign up for his Patreon, and give that as a gift to someone that you love, because his insight is second to none. Standeo.com, make sure you sign up for his Patreon as well as everything else. And Stan, thank you for allowing me to plug that, because I think what you do is fabulous. And oh, by the way, our Patreon meeting again this weekend, or not again, but this weekend, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time for our Patreon members, and we love you. And I got a lot of information that I'm going to be sharing with you guys. So go ahead, Stan. I didn't mean to hijack your time. I just wanted to really kind of get your thoughts on a couple of things that have really been bothering me. Go ahead, sir.
Well, they're common thoughts around here for sure. And in the emails we get, there are a few things that aren't all bad. On our show images page, the first image we got up there on the top left of slide 52 is a video, a short video, not a big news story or anything, just probably 4 or 5 minutes of video. And it's showing former Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel taking jelly donuts to the troops on guard at a place which is very close to, well, it's called the Ofer Crossing, but very close to the Temple Mount. And it's Hanukkah, which, oh, by the way, Hanukkah, that's an interesting thing. Slide 43, if you go there, it's a 6-minute crash course on Hanukkah and why they celebrate it and how they do it. And part of it is, of course, some festivities, you know, to and foods and things to celebrate a miracle that happened in the temple when they had wrested control of Jerusalem back from the Greeks or Seleucid Empire. Anyway, it's just a quick video. See about Hanukkah. It's not Jewish Christmas. It's celebrating something else, a miracle of lighting the menorah in the temple. There you can see it in the picture, with only enough oil for one day, and it lighted it for the full 7 days for the celebrations of Hanukkah. Anyway, so that's why Prime Minister Netanyahu is out there with the jelly donuts, was kind of lifting the mood, celebrating with the troops out there while they're having to work during Hanukkah. Just a nice thing, and reminding us that God did perform miracles for Israel and will do so again.
I love the balance, and I love the good news. So thank you for that.
And here's some relatively good news as well. I get all kinds of emails on La Palma telling me, you know, there's 6 new vents opening up and lava flowing down. Okay. You know, I understand that's damaging property there, but mainly why people send me these emails is they're saying, oh, you must be wrong because it's about to blow up over there. But the science, you know, that's kind of a common word now, but the science behind what is happening in La Palma at Cumbre de Vieja is covered in slides 41 and 42. Now, just click on that picture, Eric, and bring it up. It's a graph. And I'll explain it when it gets up there. It's showing earthquakes at La Palma since September the 10th, when all this started. And let me just get this here. Okay, if you got it up there, okay. Now, I'll read it for you because it's small print, but these dark purple things are earthquakes between 3 and 4 Richter. And the red at the very top of these things, very thin bars, show Richter 4 or better, serious earthquakes. Now, this map, this chart goes from the 10th of September all the way to the 28th of this month. Now, the orange stuff is all the smaller earthquakes, and the green stuff is just tiny ones under Richter 2, almost not enough to talk about. But you'll see this peaked out in general around the last part of October. And then it dropped off as we got into November. And there was only one day in there. It was like 17th to the 18th of November where they shot through the roof, nearly 300 earthquakes. With a similar distribution of the strengths of them. But now you look at it where we are, 28th, it's all started to level out. So now if we go back to the slide 42, this shows just from the 23rd of November till now. And you'll see that there was a spike around the 26th at midnight or so, early 27th, there was a spike of 50 earthquakes. Not 300, but 50. And this is showing you that the earthquake numbers and intensities are really falling off. They're not increasing. And I read the reports, you know, I looked at the 3D maps of the quakes where they're occurring, and they're you know, the newer ones are deeper, about 20 miles underneath the southern part of La Palma and off to the east coast. So if anything, the activity is going toward the east coast, and I don't see anything that indicates, you know, the moving and shaking that will break the Cumbre de Vieja walls and cause flooding on the west flank, which would then release the tsunami. Now, I reserve the right to be wrong, but the general consensus, even communicating with the Spanish USGS over there that are monitoring this, they don't see it as a threat at the moment, that they are watching it just to be safe. So it's good news in that I don't think that, the massive tsunami thing that we're worried about is, you know, going to happen anytime soon.
That's good. It's good news. I mean, you know,
yeah.
There's enough to me, there's enough drama out there that we don't need to create drama out of stats that clearly show that, hey, things are kind of leveling out. Now, you know what? I mean, that might change in 10 minutes or 10 days. Who knows? But it is what it is. So thank you for that.
All right. Now, slide 37 is another interesting thing, not bad news or anything, but just an interesting thing. This young astronomer took pictures, 200,000 pictures of the moon through his telescope out the backyard. And then he used some special 3D software, kind of similar to what you get in Google Earth. And he set the relative height factor so that the high places on the moon's surface would be exaggerated so you could really see them. In truth, if you look at a picture of the sun, the high mountains, deep valleys and stuff are kind of, you know, ho-hum because they're in relative depth and stuff, they don't show up much. So what he did was accentuate the height. And if you click on the picture, I put two of the images from his the story about what he was doing. You can see his picture of his telescope there. If you run up and down the page, I don't know where. Yeah,
now that's the moon, right? You said sun, but yeah, that's a moon.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry. Right. Go to the top picture underneath the boy there and click on it. Zoom into it. Right there. Yeah. Now, you know that the mountains and the ridges of the craters aren't really that big, but they were accentuated, you know, so that we would get a closer perspective, so we were much closer to the moon itself. And I do this when I do 3D viewing on Google Earth. So it's a similar application. And then, of course, the same situation, but on a different photo down underneath showing the whole moon. Sun, I've got it in the brain. And if you click on the article, it you know, in the text underneath, it takes you to the story about how he did it and how he fit them together. And when you look at 200,000 photographs being put together, that is an effort by any stretch. And you've got to bend images to meet, to join and stuff. I'll tell you what, he must have had the patience, Job. It was incredible what he did. So as a computer programmer, you know, I'm saying, wow, what a good job. You know, what a tough nut to crack, but he did it. So
nice. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Wow.
All right. All right. Now I guess we have to talk some serious things. You were talking earlier, you know, about things falling apart and we've got to do something here in this country. Now on slide 51, it's about looting spreading across the country. It's not being just limited to the northwest coast of the United States. It's now starting to spread across into Minnesota and other states. And that article from KTTV, which you can click on the text, does tell you about that. That there are mobs that are going into places like Home Depot and just running out with everything they can get their hands on that's under $1,000 value. In fact, I wonder if some of them are taking more than that there. But this craziness is spreading across the country. And at some point, you know, we're going to have to, as a community, stand up and say, no, you can't do that. Protect our stores, protect our merchants, because these are the lifeblood of the country.
I watched that, and there NBC, chaotic and dangerous smash and grabs in Democratic run cities could put many out of business. The emphasis was on the coordination of these smash and grabs. And when you start digging down deep into what's taking place, you find, at least I did, for example, you take NBC's coverage and then ABC's and the major networks, the legacy media's coverage. You find certain common elements here that the coordination appears to be done by way of their social networking, different sites, and the you're looking at this one store, family business, $250,000 in losses. One store, another store, again, family-owned business, $30,000 a month and 24/7 security. This is untenable. And the objective, I think, is to really drive these people out of business and kill the middle class. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you can see what they're doing. They are poking us in the eye, you know, saying, look, we can do anything we want. We can tear the country apart. And the people behind them are like the Soros types, and they are... We're on schedule with their plan, I'm sure, in that eventually we're going to get sick and tired of it, and there will be civil action taken. There will be, local protection gangs formed, hired by businesses to keep the businesses going, and the situation will just get worse. They are doing this on purpose to drive us to the breaking point where we'll stand up and protest. And, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing, but that's where they're headed. And, they have other things in place, other plans in place to absolutely collapse us and take over the country and to run the civil disorder, civil war, to run it in their favor. They've been planning this. And I suspect that Soros is not a mastermind. I suspect he's got access to artificial intelligence, and the people with him do. And you're playing against a supercomputer that has looked at all kinds of things that might happen and how to stop it. And it's so all-encompassing with the data it's got that, you know, it's planned our moves right to the end of the game. So without this great deception coming to help us out of this quandary, we're kind of doomed. You know, the country is going to go.
Yeah, it's and it's all by design. Just like I mentioned too, you know, when the nation was forcibly shut down by tyrannical governors and by edicts of the Faucis of the world and the policy dictates in 2020, workers lost $3.7 trillion in revenue, while billionaires gained $3.9 trillion. And we acquired 493 new billionaires and an additional 8 million Americans dropped below the poverty line during that period in 2020. So, gee.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Now, over in Iran, you know, they've been stalling on getting back to the table over the, you know, reopening this treaty, you know, where they would stop producing nuclear arms, things like that. And the U.S. has been allegedly, according to slide 53 in the article there, trying to get Iran to the table to, you know, sign this agreement again, to open it up again. But, you know, Iran is dragging its heels. It only needs a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, until it's got what it needs for nuclear weapons anyway. And even though this weak government we've got in Washington is saying we're trying to get them to the table, we're going to, you know, put pressure on Iran if they don't come to the table, I don't believe it. I think that this crowd occupying the White House are going to let Iran go for Israel. There are just too many signs that that's what they're doing. I don't know. Have you ever listened to Amir Sephardi's videos from Israel?
Yeah, I have, as a matter of fact, which there, I think you've linked some on your website.
Yeah, on slide 50, I've linked it to his latest very short video on the three things that he's observed in Israel, which tell us that war with Iran is imminent. He looks at things like how the military is, checking out neighborhoods, making sure people know where their bomb shelters and things are, and how the military is increased in numbers, and there are more flights, you know, jets flying over as they're preparing to meet an Iranian missile threat. As I say, there are three things there. And if you click on the picture, that gets you straight to the video, which has a on my computer, it has an EMP shield, advert on it. So I don't know if that's for
two for one there. That's not bad though.
But there you go. There you go. Now you go. Yeah. Okay.
Playing right here. Yeah. This is the one I saw. I guess I did get it off your website. I apologize. I see so many videos. I'm just not sure where they reside.
I meant to put a picture up showing three main things there that he's going to talk about. First of all, he said the Israeli defense minister, just said yesterday, blah, 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 we need to prepare for conflict with Iran. And he said also that the Israeli population is being prepared for a long missile attack on Israel, which is not, duck and cover. It's extended time. How do you get your food and, medicines and things you might need if your house gets hit? And his third thing he's going to cover, which you saw in the video, said there's a report that is coming out that Iran already has acquired enough enriched uranium for a bombs, which is why I was saying that a few days, a couple of weeks, whatever, they're going to have at least one nuclear bomb, maybe more, that they're going to throw at Israel, forcing Israel, of course, to initiate some defensive measures. And the one I think will be quite obvious is what they will nuke the Iranian missile supplies, arms supplies in Damascus, and Damascus will be destroyed, like biblical prophecy says, overnight. It just will disappear and nobody will ever live there again. It'll be a ruinous heap. We're seeing this. We're being forced into this position. Now, at the same time, young Jared Kushner has been over in the Middle East, wandering around, getting Middle Eastern countries, Arab countries primarily, to invest in his new fund he's got over there to, it's an investment fund to raise money, like Mohammed bin Salman is doing. And Mohammed bin Salman is a good buddy of Jared Kushner's. And between the two of them, they're going to bring Saudi Arabia into this fund. And when you say, what are they going to do with it? It's a very good question. We're talking billions of dollars. Are they going to fund an army against Israel? And you think, well, Jared Kushner wouldn't do that. But I've looked at him as a possible candidate because of his background and his family name, Kushner, coming from northern Israel. That's where the family name eventually you track it back to. So is he planning to, again, make this agreement between Israel and the surrounding countries, or is he there just to go ahead and encourage the Arabs to unite behind Mohammed bin Salman and attack Israel. And that includes Iran, which has been making overtures to make peace between themselves and Saudi Arabia. It's a very complex set of circumstances in the Middle East, of, you know, which tribe follows that one, who's got, who's going to get along, who's not, because of land that was misappropriated to them by the British after World War II. There's all kinds of stuff in play there. But Jared Kushner is in the area. He's a very bright young fellow, and he has been talking to people behind doors, and he knows so much more than, like, people in the administration over here have got a clue how to run the Middle East or whether to even be involved in it. So keep an eye on Jared Kushner. He's up and at it again, and in the area where we're about to see a short-term war, a nuclear exchange, I think, between Iran and Israel, and possibly between Israel and Saudi Arabia or anybody else that joins Iran in this attack on Israel. It is coming, and the signs are imminent, just imminent.
To me, Jared Kushner is the poster child, the poster boy for a father's. Make sure you know who your daughters are going to marry, all right? Do the background. Do the due diligence, okay?
Yeah. I mean,
Eric the Tech had to submit to a polygraph and a background check.
Of course he did. Yeah, well, I expect that. I mean, you're a tough dad.
That's right. So
I was locked in a room for 3 days.
He was.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, at least you weren't waterboard. Well, you didn't waterboard him, so he's lucky on that. So,
well, at least I'm not admitting to that. So,
oh well, all right. You know, this COVID thing in Australia, I'm continually surprised by how draconian they have become over there, how Nazi-like over this COVID stuff. In slides 44 and 45, they deal with an appeal by the Aboriginal communities in the north and central part of Australia, because the Australian government has been sending soldiers in to pull them out of their apartment houses or their communities, you know, and force them into a camp because they haven't gotten the COVID shot. They're doing what we're, you know, afraid is coming here, you know, that if you don't get it, you're going to go to a retraining camp of some sort, if you're that lucky, I guess. You know, I watched the video. These poor guys, you know, they're saying, look, help us. I don't know what we can do because we've got enough trouble handling our own country, but they're the forerunner of what they're going to do here. And it's just sad to see. Very sad. Now.
Oh, man. Wow. Jeez. Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Also, we want to keep an eye on the Long Valley Super Volcano in you know, California there. Slide 47 addresses that. Now, they've located a number of magma movements underneath Long Valley, and they say they aren't sure whether it's going to erupt or whether it will be as strong as it was, you know, thousands of years ago when it last erupted. But they say it's showing signs of imminent eruption. But if you get into the article, you know, the dome, the resurgent dome is rising, and there's activity deep down underneath that. So I'm saying to people, if you read this article, if you've read it in the press, kind of say, okay, yeah, possibly, because if you look down into the article, they're saying it's not centralized activity, it's spread out, which, it's dispersed, you know, the activity of the magma and the earthquakes underneath it, so that maybe even though the dome's rising, that it's not going to erupt. So it's another one of those things like La Palma, you know, view it with caution. I wouldn't panic over this thing on Mammoth yet. Of course, if the West Coast breaks up into island chains and whatever, you might expect Mammoth to go off at the same time, but that hasn't happened yet. So,
you know, I remember back when I was a young child, my mom talking about, you know, California breaking off, and it wasn't a Casey, Edgar Casey was saying stuff about that, or I don't, whoever the flavor was at that time talking about that happening imminent.
It could have been Casey. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sleeping prophet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've got, you know, a number of problems. Some are politically, you know, forming, but others are environment. Now, politically, in slide 54, this is announced today. The Biden administration warns American, you're going to be paying 54% more if you want heat this winter. Quoting it, we expect that households across the United States will spend more on energy this winter compared with the past several winters because of these higher energy prices and because we assume a slightly colder winter than last year is going to hit the United States. Now, you know, the cost of fuel, that's Biden administration's fault. They cut off the pipeline. They've just crippled, you know, our access to cheap oil and gasoline. And so they're saying, they're warning us about it. Well, big deal. It's your fault, you know. The hubris of these people, I can't believe I'm reading this kind of stuff. Anyway.
Well, you know, what's a few hundred bucks more a month for heating, right? I mean,
there are a lot of people who depend on it from their Social Security checks and things. This will absolutely break them. They're going to be huddled together. This reminds me, my brother Jimmy over in China, he and his wife, they're a Christian witness there. He told me something I wasn't aware of because I wasn't there, you know, living with him. But it's average over there that people will heat up a hot water bottle and put it underneath their tunic or their shirt for the morning, because they don't have adequate heating. So they heat their bodies with these water bottles when they're in the house and when they're traveling to work and stuff. So everybody's got a hot water bottle to keep them warm in the core of their body while they're going about their business. I just never knew that. I just, you know, it's, you know, why don't you turn on the heater? Well, they can't do that. So it's too expensive.
Wow.
Anyway, now, by the way, that article on slide 54, it's on powergrid.news. Now, Holly showed me that this morning. It's a very good site just on the power grid and the news affecting your power grid. You know, like when we have an EMP from a pulse from the sun that wipes out the power, or attacked by China or Russia. And these things are not remote any longer. They are definitely a clear and present danger to this country and to our power structure and to everything that electricity runs. So it underscores what you were saying earlier about getting a shield for your EMP shield for your car, your home, your generators, yep, your solar power, whatever. Keep things going, you know, working, and keep your alternate power supplies, your energies working. You know, you don't want to lose those. So that's what the shields work for. You got to do your best to try to survive what's coming.
That was
the political side of things that are affecting us at the moment. Now, on the environmental side, in slide 48, we're talking about the warming of the Arctic Ocean. I've said this before on the show. The documentation for the global climate for, you know, thousands of years has shown that the ice age formed when there was a 2 degrees Celsius average temperature drop in the oceans of the planet. Just 2 degrees drop. Now, since 1900, the ocean temperatures has risen approximately 2 degrees Celsius. They've gone up instead of down since 1900, while sea ice has retreated and water salinity has increased. A change of 2 degrees C can cause a heat wave or an ice age. And it's looking hot up there is what I said. That was my comment. So we're going the opposite of that. We're going to have a very hot condition, which is going to produce violent weather, extreme weather, changing climate patterns, which we've already seen. I mean, it's hitting crop growth all over the planet. And of course, with the shortages of food and loss of crops, we're going to have famine, and then we're going to have diseases, you know, because of people dying from hunger and, you know, COVID type stuff hitting us. And Ebola, that's a big one in Africa. We're seeing all these things as a function of temperature, which, you know, the Illuminati don't control. But it is, you know, they're playing into this because it is a good way to blame it on nature and all the other activities that they're doing to short our fuel supply and, you know, our crops and health. It's just, you know, this artificial intelligence behind what they're doing is so all-encompassing. It has looked at all kinds of scenarios that can affect us and how we will react and how they can counter what we react with, so that they're still going to have their end goal of a global government, unless we have this grand deception occur with the fallen ones, you know, Satan and his minions, flying saucers and all that technology, step in to save mankind. And you got to admit, if I'm right about this scenario, which I pulled out of the Bible, then we're going to see this great deception that people will be falling into it. They will think, how it affects them personally, how it affects their wallet and their family. And that's all they're going to be looking at. And this will sadly, even fool a few Christian folks as well. They've got to be aware that this artificial saviors from space aren't Jesus. They're the first wave and they're bad news. All these things are pointing us that direction. And I remember a movie called Colossus, the Forbin Project, years ago, back, 20, 30 years ago. And even then, they were dealing with a supercomputer, artificial intelligence, which got into the phone lines and the power lines and spread copies of itself out into computers everywhere and was controlling the planet, turning the planet into slaves, people into slaves. And this was so far ahead of its time, but we're there now. There's a real, colossus, artificial intelligence out there, and it's watching. It listens to phone calls and everything. Hmm.
Do you know Hugo de Garis by chance?
No, I don't know.
Okay, he's one of the foremost researchers. He's out of, I believe it's Australia. I interviewed him a couple of years ago about Artilex and about artificial intelligence. And I had a difficult time really comprehending how this could even, it's mind-blowing. It really is. But is there a, does this become sentient? I mean, their own life forms in a sense?
In essence, they do. But they are soulless, obviously.
Right.
If you pull the plug, they die instantly. All the information is maybe stored on disks or things, but the computer dies.
Kind of like Pelosi. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. They have been researching for decades now a way to mimic how the human brain works, where nerve cell here has, maybe 100 little tendrils that go out to connect to nerve cells here and there and there, and they all interconnect. And it should be of no surprise to people, if you kill the brain, shoot it or whatever, that the circulation of currents and all these little nerve endings stops and the person dies. Now, the soul of the person is what was circulating in all of those neurons that are interconnected. And it does not die. It is, it is out of the neural network, what they call that arrangement, but it survives and goes, to be with the Lord or just sleep and wait for the Lord's return. I've talked to the son of a doctor over in Thailand that did this experiment and watched an old man die. They paid his family to put him in this glass cage and watch him die. And when he died, a ball of light popped out of his chest and burst through the glass cage because they were going to weigh him to see, if he changed weight at death. And when that happened, it frightened them and they never did any more research on it. So this ball of energy, is a bunch of waveforms on top of waveforms on top of waveforms circulating all the time through a person's brain. So they tried to copy that in making an artificial brain. And so what they do is they start a signal in this interconnected bunch of nodes, electrical nodes. And that signal might be a hum, and then they start to stimulate this circulating current in these nodes, in this artificial intelligence, with sound, with light, with touch, with other data coming in from the internet and other sources that feed it. And it starts to build more and more vibrations on top of that hum so that it becomes what they call frequency modulated. And this circles around all the time. If you turn the power off to it, it dies because it has to be circulating all the time. So it's not sentient, but it's as close a copy as you can make to how the human brain works. And it works maybe a billion times faster than the human brain. It is a frightening thing. It becomes a kind of supplemented type God type entity, the intelligence of it, without the soul and the love that goes with the real God. Oh. But yeah, that's how they're going to do it. That's it.
Again, Standale.com, folks. Make sure you go to his website. Bookmark his website, visit it daily. Holly does a great job. keeping everything updated and news that you need to know, from photo, video, even humor of the day to everything that's important to you. Go ahead.
Yeah. What's my time like?
We got about, I guess, about 11 minutes. So.
Okay, good. In the background here behind me here in the studio, you can see a portion of Saudi Arabia that I put up on the screen. The little green dots are from a new report, an archaeological report being released in Saudi Arabia, in the kind of northwest corner of Saudi Arabia, showing a number of things, artifacts they have found, which are rectangular in shape, plus a number of the others we call the keyhole things that I've talked about since I started saying that Saudi Arabia is part of Atlantis. And they found these things, and they've studied the use of them, you know, archaeologically, and they're thinking that these were made by a culture that was worshiping like cows, you know, the bull. Now, when I talked about Atlantis, they did worship the bull. The jumping the bull was one of the things they used to do, and that's shown on the walls in Santorini, which is one of the Atlantean outposts. But this is showing their conclusions about it being, you know, location of a cow cult, if you wish. Now, to me, it was part of Atlantis, and it was, we know for a fact that every cow on the planet, every steer, every, you know, bovine creature has its origin back here, what we call the Fertile Crescent, which is just to the, if you look at the screen, it's just to the, to my left here, like this. That over there is the Fertile Crescent. And that's where, you know, the auric type cows, bovines and stuff were, which was part of Atlantis. And every cow genetically comes from that point on the map. So when they find this cow culture, you know, worshippers or whatever in the northwest part of Saudi Arabia, which again was Atlantis, it tells me that was on high enough ground, because it's mountainous ground, that it was not totally buried when the Saudi Peninsula was tilted, you know, from 1,600 feet to 2 miles deep over to Oman when that asteroid hit, which killed, you know, sank Atlantis. It's now recovered above ground, but it's covered in sand, and that's why the kind of northeast and southern portions of the Saudi Peninsula are in deep sand. That was because it was submerged for that period of time, but it's now resurfaced. And if they were to figure out some way to go down and image in these deep sand banks that are now the southern part of Saudi Arabia and Yemen and areas like that in Oman, they would be able to see the leftover technologies and buildings of the Atlanteans, because that's where they were. So it's just, and while I was looking at these green dots you can see behind me there on right there, right up above that, let's see, it'd be right there in that brownish area. That is the beginning of a lot of sand that flowed all the way down to the Persian Gulf in Saudi Arabia, which was, again, Atlantis. And in the Plato documents talking about the highlands here where we're looking now, where those green dots are, there were forests up there. And there was a lot of rainfall up there. And so the rain was directed down through grooves, very long grooves cut from there all the way down to the Persian Gulf. And they were parallel grooves. And I found them when I looked at this map again on high resolution, you know, glory be, there they were. They were those channels that were cut by the Atlanteans to ship logs and you know, cows and stuff down to the Fertile Plain and down to the area around Poseidon's castle, which was on an island called Damam these days. Anyway, just underscoring what I've been telling, it's proving even further that Atlantis was, you know, Saudi Arabia, or Saudi Arabia was Atlantis that way around. Anyway, that's just
That's to me, that's really interesting, because there's been so much debate about the location of Atlantis, and I appreciate your research on that, folks. If you haven't done so already, make sure you get all of the research products by Standeo at standeo.com. I'm telling everyone, it's worth every penny. It's worth the investment. It makes great stocking stuffers or gifts for Christmas as well. So thank you for your...
And some of it is free on my YouTube channel, you know, Standeo YouTube. So there's a lot of stuff there you can get. Now, I want to kind of address the UFO sightings being reported this year, because we were talking about the Great Deception. On slides 38 and 39, I have some articles. One is by the military saying that, you know, in slide 38, that there's more sightings and that kind of stuff. But if you go over to slide 39 and look at the graph, now I've graphed the sightings of these from January of 2013 down to now. And you can see that these are sightings of UFOs reported to the center in Washington there. And look at it. You'll see that that curve in the middle is the average curve showing how the sightings are diminishing. You know, they're not high like they were, you know, 1,121 in this month or that month. The values of the peaks are there next to the points. You can zoom it up. It's a large map. But this is showing that they're going down. And so I don't know why the military is saying otherwise, but it kind of makes you wonder if they even understand what's happening. Hmm. And these figures in that article on slide 38 are from 2020, and we're looking at 2021 inclusive in the one on the right graph, because I calculated them through there. But anyway, it just tells you that we're still playing around with the arrival, you know, the official arrival of the quote unquote aliens.
Do you think that's going to be the disclosure, if you will, or at least the presentation? You think that's going to be, I mean, it's imminent, right? It seems that way.
Yeah. Look, it's got to be done in a manner that your best engineers and scientists out there, you know, in the world, which aren't part of the conspiracy, these scientists will look up and say, that can't be from around here. That's not one of ours. And the main thing that will do that is the arrival of the big ships, you know, that are a mile wide and that kind of stuff. And they float over the city with no apparent means of propulsion. That will impress every engineer, because they'll look at the structure, the physical structure of something like that, regardless of how it's being propelled. They'll say, why doesn't it fall apart from its own weight? I mean, imagine a lever a mile long, you know, an iron bar, you know, trying to support the other side of the craft. I mean, a mile long lever is a huge amount of force, you know, stress on the structure of a craft like that. So that's going to immediately say to them, this is technology that we have. This is physics that we have no idea how it works. You know, they must not be from around here. And I'm telling you, whether these craft are solid inside, whether they've got compartments all over or not, you can build a superstructure using the gravitic, you know, craft that the smaller 30-foot diameter craft use, the anti-gravity fields. You can put maybe 40 or 50 of those and link them up in a grid inside of a big blimp, in essence, and move that blimp with the field so that it acts like it's one great ship. And people will think, wow, look at the size of that. The size is going to be one of the things that convinces people they aren't from around here. And that's, you know, I've been telling people to tell the engineers that don't believe that it can't be that big, because a gravitic field, especially with 40 or 50 little nodes, little 30-foot diameter craft, they create local support of all the beams and stuff no more than 30 to 60 feet length. So it's not a problem when you've got anti-gravity craft nodes all through your big kind of Trojan horse. And that's basically what they will be.
Wow. Got about a minute and a half left, Stan. And it's been fascinating with you. I appreciate these kind of discussions to you, sir. Hmm.
Well, I think that kind of covers most of the things I had on my site. Now, over on Holly's page, she's telling people out there that it's the truth. We've almost sold out of Dare to Prepare at the moment. I've got to put in an emergency reorder now because so many thousands of people are ordering the book. We are shipping them out as fast as we get them. We're caught up until this morning. The new lot came in, so don't panic. We'll get them out to you. It won't be a long delay, at least while we've got stock anyway.
The bids for my copy on eBay are up to 155, so I'm kidding, of course, but I'm kidding. It's worth every penny of it, even at that rate, if that was true.
I'm still working on making a digital copy of the Vindicator Scrolls, you know, Volume 1.
Oh, and, yeah.
I'm about two-thirds of the way through making that available, so that's coming out early next year.
I can't wait for that. Stan, thank you so very much. May God bless you. Thanks for being so flexible with your time and generous with your time, and I appreciate you and Holly.
Thank you. All right. You guys have a good time now. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Folks, that'll do it for Tagman Report. And God bless you. Please spread this program far and wide if you like it. And if you don't, just harass your family with it. And God bless you. Thanks, Eric the Tech. Good night, everyone.